Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abidan Shaw.
This is the fifth message, a final message in our series on the Trinity. If you haven't been here for the past few weeks or this is the first time here this morning, we've been going through a series called Battle of the Gods. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to John chapter 5. The message is called Children That Bring Delight. What are those kind of children that make parents proud? Jesus is saying these words. Listen very carefully. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Now, verse 36. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. In essence, Jesus is saying, I'm obedient to my Heavenly Father. Whatever He tells me to do, I do. And my obedience justifies who I am. And it is pleasing to my Father. Would you agree this morning that children today, in 2016, are not like children used to be 20, 30, 40, 60 years ago? Would you agree with that? Children have changed. Now, there's a book out by Leonard Sachs. It's called The Collapse of Parenting. Now, I don't recommend everything that he writes, but most of what he writes is right on the money. And in this book, now, he is a family physician, he is a psychologist, and he talks about a mother bringing a six-year-old to him because he had a sore throat. And when he told him to open his mouth so he could see, you know, what's wrong with him, his mother stepped in and she asked the child's permission and said something like, do you mind if the doctor looks at your throat for just a second, honey? Now, this may be a tough message for some of you because you do this. Of course, the child said no. And then he had to be restrained so the doctor could examine his throat. And Sachs goes on and says, it's not a question, it's a sentence, something like open up and say, ah. That's how it's supposed to be, right? Open him out, say, ah. But it's more like, could you please, honey, open your mouth so the doctor can look at you? And then he says, parents are incapable of speaking the truth to their children in a sentence that ends in a period. Nowadays, every sentence ends in a question mark. Would you? Could you? Please, will you? Something is wrong. What is happening to our children is that obedience has become optional or non-existent. Parents are no longer authoritative or in charge. They're more like facilitators. If you know what I mean by like a life coach, let's just help you become the best you can be. They're focused on making their children happy and boosting their self-esteem. Parents are afraid of being the bad guy. We want our children to love us and say, my daddy is awesome. My mama is, my parents are so good for, look at what all they do for me. But don't make me mind. It's not that they don't spend time with their children. They do, but it's not family time in the sense of having a dinner together or talking about values or right from wrong. It is more like shuttling them from different activities, from dance to music to karate lessons to something, something, something. They're shuttling them and they think, I'm spending time with my kids. See, there I am. They're trying to give their children everything they didn't have. And if one of the parents tries to intervene and do what is right, the other one intercepts, and the one trying gives up. It's no use. What parents don't realize is that they're harming their children more than helping them. And sadly, this is another issue. In many homes, the parent is more like the child than the child. And please don't think this is out in the projects. It is also in some million-dollar homes. It's the same issue where parents are acting like children. No wonder the child seeks the approval of other people, their own peers. And Sachs, and I'm going to step on some toes here this morning, he cites several researchers to prove that this lack of parental authority is the cause of rise in obesity. It is the cause of rise in anti-anxiety and ADD medications. Now, I'm not here to say all those are bad because there are situations where that is needed, but I truly believe, based on his research, many times what is happening to American kids, kids in the Western culture, is not right. It is not normal. And it's also the cause of rise in disrespect. All you have to do is turn on the TV and you see these kids doing things and you're going, if my mama saw me do that. There's a rise in disrespect, especially towards adults, and why kids are so fragile today. Oh, no, stop. You're so sensitive. Where are we getting this? When there is no authority in the home. And something else, if I may add, there's a sense of entitlement. I deserve this. Everybody wins. Now, I don't have time to analyze all the causes for this. And some of the causes are going to be painful to you this morning. I went to Clearview. Boy, he ruined my day. But truth is truth. Would you agree with that? One of the biggest causes of the problems our children are facing today is the breakdown of marriage. Now, I know we've stopped talking about that because every other person is divorced or been through it. And I'm not here to pour more guilt on you and say, there you go, feel worse about yourself. But truth is truth. When a home breaks down, when mother and father split up and go their separate ways, whoever is to be blamed or both, it doesn't really matter. It's all over. But the truth is true. The consequence keeps coming. And we try to blame everything else, but the real blame is here. Not only that, but it's also abuse, whether it's mental or physical abuse, and if anything, overdose of psychology. I believe we can learn a lot from psychology, but I think what's happening in our culture today is overdose, where everybody is Dr. Phil. And more than anything else, lack of biblical truth. The point is this: both children and parents in our culture desperately need help, and help is available, but it's not going to be the way you think. It's not a TV show, it's not even this book. It's not going to be a message from your favorite preacher on TV or somebody you really follow and adore. The message is this: the help is found in God Himself. It is found in the Trinity. See, we are made in the image of God. We reflect God, not only as individuals, but also in our marriages, but also how we raise our children. We were designed to reflect Him. He is the prototype. When we get away from that model, that's when the problems begin. Let me ask you this morning, what I shared with you in the past 5 minutes, has this hit a nerve for you? I can imagine this must be painful for some of you who've been through these struggles, and you're going through these struggles, and it's like, man, has it struck a chord for you in the sense that you agree, you see these things happening? Maybe it's people around you who are making these decisions, these choices. Do you need God's wisdom and guidance in your home? What is needed is truth. What is needed is help, and help is available, but it's not going to be the way you think it is. It has to come from the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, focusing upon the Trinity and how that works, because that's how our marriages and our homes are to work. And the question I ask every week is, are you saved? You know, if you don't have Jesus in your life, no matter who tells you three things if you did with your kids, so much better. Some of y'all, the reason you have your kids in sports is so they keep them out of trouble. Guess what? They still get into it. They need something more. They need something deeper in their hearts. And that cannot happen just by giving them something to do. Three things we're going to look at this morning. How to raise children that bring delight. Three ingredients. Message is deep. I hope you'll stay with me. Number one, we need to understand the true model for parents and children. I shared this a little bit with you already. Listen to verse 30. Jesus says, I can of myself do nothing. As a son, he is saying, I can do nothing by myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If you were here last weekend, I shared with you how much the Trinity sets the tone for our marriage. You know, in the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit, three are equal in essence, and yet they are distinct in order. The Father is over the Son. The Father and Son are over the Holy Spirit. That gives us the model for the family, for the marriage. Number one, husband and wives are equal in essence. Do you believe that? But there is a distinction in order. The husband is called to be the spiritual head of his home. And the wife is to follow his leadership. Now, I'm not going to preach that message again. Go back and listen to it. It's on the web. It's on my blog site. It's all there. But the Trinity not only tells us how to order our marriages, but it also tells us how to order our families, our children. Just like Father, Son, Spirit, three are equal, parents and children are also equal in the sight of God. Even an unborn child is just as equal as those sitting here this morning. Do you believe that? Our culture doesn't. Every child is just as valuable as the grown adult, whoever they may be. We are equal because we're made in the image of God. Just the way Father, Son, Spirit are equal, so also parents and children are equal. Yet there is a distinction in order, where the Father tells the Son what to do, not vice versa. So also in our homes, parents tell the children what to do, not the other way around. You say, where did you get that? Listen to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. First, he lays out the Trinity, and then he talks about the family. Listen to what he says in verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, there is the second person, but giving thanks to God the Father through him. There is the order. There is the Trinity. They're equal, and yet there is a distinction. Having talked about the Trinity, Paul doesn't say, okay, that's it. He goes on to verse 18. Therefore, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Means as is fitting towards the Trinity. You see how the Trinity sets the order for your home? Equal and yet distinction. By the way, distinction does not mean that the man is superior over the woman or the woman is inferior to the man. Different roles. But he doesn't stop there. Something else. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Why? Why shouldn't you hold a grudge against your wife? Because the Father never holds a grudge against the Son, and the Father and the Son never hold a grudge against the Holy Spirit. Don't be bitter. You see, everything that we do in life is a reflection of the triune God. But it's not done yet. Listen to verse 20, because there is another application because of the Trinity, which is children. Obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord, because this is what makes the Trinity happy, when you obey your parents. Now, when we talk about this order, this is not some detached spiritual order of things, like, you know, the father says, yes, my son, you know, go do what I tell you to do. And the son says, yes, my father, like an old Star Wars movie, yes. You know, it's not like that. It's a real love. Listen to John 3, verse 35. What does it say? The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. Where do we learn that we need to do this to our children and give things to them and see them happy? Where do we get it from? From the Trinity. That's what the Father does with His Son. John 5:20, for the Father, what's the word again? Loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does. It's not enough to say, Son, I'm going to give you everything. Sometimes, I know you dads, you call your son over and you say, or your daughter, and say, look, let me show you how to do this. And moms, you do that with your daughters and say, let me show you how to cook, or let me show you how to fix this, or let me show you how to read this, or whatever. Where do we understand that this is what parents should do? Because the Father does it with the Son in the Trinity, in the heavenly family. Our model as parents is God the Father. Folks, some of you are modeling your lives after your mom and dad, or your grandparents, or your neighbor, or your school teacher, or even the pastor of this church. I'm here to tell you, you need to change. You definitely don't want any of these to be. Now, you can learn from them, but if you want a model, there's only one. You were made to reflect Him, so look to the real deal. It's God the Father. He is always firm, and yet He is always loving. He requires obedience, and yet He is always full of grace. He goes above and beyond. And how about the Son? Does He reluctantly, grudgingly obey? It's like, fine, I'll go die for those humans because you love them, you know, John 3:16. No. Listen to what He says in John 8:29. He says, I always do those things that means I want to please my dad. How many of you would love to have children like that? That you want your children to please you. Hey, listen, that sounds like fingernails on chalkboard to some of you going, I don't know. I want to please them. It's never meant to be that way. Your children should be looking for opportunities to say, I want to see the smile on dad's face. You know what we're doing? Standing on the sideline, we're hoping, I hope you're happy with me. I've done everything for you. You think you're helping them? You're not helping them at all. Jesus says, I always do those things that please Him. Listen to another reference, John 17. In His high priestly prayer, Jesus says, O righteous Father. You know, He's calling His dad a good dad. It is so fashionable in our culture today to stand there and talk about how your dad messed you up and how he is horrible and he was not the man he was supposed to be and he wasn't there for you and you are messed up and do all the crazy things because of your dad. Jesus is bragging on His dad. He says, oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. Means they don't understand you, but I do. When I was in high school, my dad came to zero games. Didn't bother me. You know why? Because I knew he was working. He was working two jobs, three jobs, just to keep our family afloat in the early years of our lives. We didn't have anything. Do you think I hold any grudge against him? I brag on him. I'm bragging on him now. Why? Because I knew he is a righteous dad. He did everything. They don't understand that, but I did. And listen to what else he says, verse 26. And I have declared to them your name. How many of you would love to have your children brag on you? He says, I have declared to them your name and will declare it. It means I'm going to keep talking about how good you are, how awesome you are, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. It means I want them to have the same love that you've given me. Folks, that should be the model for our children. Let me ask you this morning, what would happen has what you did in your child's life, if your children are grown, has it worked out? I mean, that truth cuts like a knife, doesn't it? Did it work out? I can guarantee you, 100 out of 100, it didn't. Why? Because you were not imitating the Trinity. You were imitating either yourself or you're imitating somebody else or some TV show or some movie or some book or some psychologist on TV. You were not going by the model you were supposed to. What would happen if parents, and especially the fathers, were just like God the Father? Loving and yet firm. What would happen if the children knew that they were truly loved and they honored their parents? By the way, you may not always obey your parents, but you're always to honor your parents. You know what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs? Never despise your mother in her older age. What would happen if children were obedient promptly, completely, and cheerfully? That is the standard. Let me ask you this morning, fathers, do you actively love your children? Now, I know sometimes you have to work, you can't be there for your child, but listen, if you are more interested in your hobbies and indulging in sin than being there for your children, shame on you. There's a problem in Western culture. I see that because I've come from another part of the world. Most children do not have a dad. In most homes, there is no dad. As the little boy is going through changes in his life, there is no dad there to say, son, it's okay, you'll be all right, I've been there. Let me tell you how you handle this. This is what you do, this is what happens, and you'll be okay. There is no dad. In many homes, there is no dad to talk to the daughter and who is going through a breakup and say, listen, you'll be okay, you'll find somebody better. You want me to go beat him up, even as a joke? There's nobody there to even joke that way. And that young girl has to fight her own battles by herself. What would happen if we were like the Trinity? I love my son, and I've given everything to him. What would happen if, like Jesus, children actually bragged on their parents and were obeyed them completely, totally, and cheerfully, always desiring to please their parents? And I'm not suggesting please their parents in the sense of hold back affection. Some parents do that. I'm not going to show you love until you do what I told you to do. But training them that making me happy should be the best thing in your life. You know why this sounds so foreign? Because we're so far off from this book. Here's number two. The true esteem of our children. Time is running away. Listen to verse 31. Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now what is happening here, to give you a little context, the Jewish leaders were accusing Jesus of not only breaking the Sabbath, but making himself equal with the Father. And according to the Jewish law, you needed two witnesses to prove either you are guilty or not guilty. One of the, you know, either way. You cannot be your own witness, obviously. You cannot say, well, I am not guilty because I said so. So Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Jesus, being perfect, says, I am not going to self-validate. So who will justify you, Jesus? Listen to verse 32. There's another who bears witness of me. There's another who can justify and validate me. Who is it? And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Means what he's going to say about me is the truth. Who is it? Listen to verse 33. You have sent to John. That's John the Baptist. And he has borne witness to the truth. John the Baptist will talk about me. He will validate me. He will justify that I am who I am. But now listen to verse 34. Yet I do not receive testimony from man. Wait a minute. You're not going to justify yourself. John is telling the truth about you, but you don't want his justification either. You know, we're living in a selfie culture. Would you agree with that? We're proving that we're beautiful, we're smart. I do it too, but not for that reason. Usually it's some historical side I'm trying to tell you guys. Look, I've been there. What are we doing really? We're saying, look at how good I am. Look at where I'm at. What we're doing is we are self-justifying. What do we do after we take that picture? We post it because we want other people to validate it. We want them to tell us how good we are. And then we check it every 2 minutes to see if the likes are going up. Do you think Jesus would have Facebook? I think he would. But I don't think he would do selfies, and I don't think he would wait for how many people like his post. So who is going to justify you, Jesus? Who is going to say you are good enough? Listen to verse 36. I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, The very works that I do bear witness of me. I don't need me to say how good I am. I don't need you to say how good I am. Even if you're right, my obedience proves how good I am. What would happen if our children cared more about obedience than peer review? We're teaching our children to say, you're so smart, you're so good. Honey, no matter what you do, I'm always be proud of you. Now, it's fine to say all of that. Please build them up. But validation is not based on what you say about yourself or what others say about you. It's based on your obedience. Do you do what God has told you to do? Are you constantly trying to self-validate? Are you constantly seeking the validation of others? How much does obedience, children, how much does obedience to your parents matter to you? If your dad or your mom has said this, don't do it. Unless it's something unethical, illegal, obey them. You know what the fifth commandment is out of the Ten Commandments? Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long. And may I say it, parents, some of you may have to break your bad habits because your children are becoming like you. If you are constantly self-validating or looking for others' approval, don't blame your kids for copying you. Here's number three, and we'll close. The true model for parents and children is the Trinity. The true esteem of our children should be obedience to us. Number three, the true approval of the parent. Verse 37, listen to what Jesus says. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. God the Father has validated the Son. How did he validate him? Some people think, the Father validated the Son at the baptism. Remember that when Jesus came out of the water, the heavens opened and the voice was heard, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." They say, oh, there it is. The Father said, oh, I'm pleased with my Son. And then there's another time in the Mount of Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah came, spoke to Jesus, and a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the same voice was heard of the Father. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." People heard that voice. So some people say, the Father himself who sent me has testified of me, must be that voice those two times. Well, let's keep listening to verse 37. Jesus says, "You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form." Whoa, wait a minute. Wasn't the baptism or the Mount of Transfiguration what you're talking about? The Father saying, "I'm pleased with my Son." Jesus said, "No, that's not what I have in mind." In fact, in John's Gospel, neither the baptism nor the Transfiguration is mentioned. What is Jesus talking about? The Father validating the Son, but nobody hears his voice. Nobody sees him. Verse 38. "But you do not have his word abiding in you." Now, I know this message is deep. I know this message must be hard for some of you because you made mistakes. Your children are grown. Hey, listen, just because your children are out of the home does not mean you stop being parents. You just take on a different kind of parenting. And some of you may have to call your children and say, "Listen, we messed up. But I'm going to tell you, do it this way, and I know you won't mess up where we did."
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. It's been amazing to see how this series on the Trinity has impacted us on so many levels, especially the family. For more information, please visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for today's sermon transcript, visit my blog site at abedonshaw.com.